This Shabbat is not easy on rabbis. The Torah portion is mostly about skin diseases, which doesn't make a really riveting talk or a very inspiring one, but you see, we have figured out what to do. At a certain point, when the rabbis realized that giving medical drashot was not their strong point, they decided that the Parsha of Metzora, first of all, sounded very much like Motzi Shem Ra, which means to speak badly about someone else. And since in the Torah, Miriam is stricken with a skin disease for speaking badly about Moshe, they decided instead of speaking about skin diseases on the Shabbat where Metzora is read, they should speak about gossip, because there's always something to say about gossip. Far be it from me to step away from the tradition of the rabbis, and so I too have decided to leave medical conditions to one side this morning and to say something about gossip in a particular way. Because I've been thinking about gossip over the past week, and I thought, you know, maybe at some point in the future I'll give another one of those don't gossip sermons. But there's got to be some kind of interesting twist on this that isn't just, oh, nobody should gossip, and then, of course, we all go back to gossiping. I think there must be something more helpful to say, and so today I'm going to talk about a particular kind of gossip. Because over the past couple days, I have asked several people, do you think you gossip more about people you dislike or people you love? And the startling answer that I got over and over again was, well, at the best I got was 50-50. But I think most of us actually gossip most of the time about people we're very close to, not about people we don't care about or don't know or dislike, which is a fascinating phenomenon. And I think I have at least a part of an explanation. You see, when you gossip about somebody you don't like, it's clear what you're doing. Everybody around you knows it. If you say, this guy I work with, he does this, 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 and this, everyone knows you don't like that guy you work with, and you don't want me to like him either. But if you say, look, he's my best friend and I love him, but he does this that drives me crazy, you have immunized yourself by saying you love him, so nobody can feel bad about the fact that you gossip. After all, you love the guy, so you're allowed to say bad things about him. I guess this is a medical talk, because that's immunization I'm talking about here. And so I think we tend to gossip about people we love because we think we're allowed to, because you can say bad things about people you love because, after all, you love them. This is a dangerous thing. Because, first of all, the person that you are speaking to may not love them. And what they're left with is not only the negative impression, but also the ability to say, even people that love that guy know that he does this, this, and this. And second, one of the remarkable things about gossip is that it can't be erased. If I tell you so-and-so is an okay guy, but I once saw him scream at his kid in the supermarket and call him terrible names, and you would never, ever, ever want to see it was terrible, you will never be able to look at that person again without thinking about it. Ever. Because negative things stick to us. We can't erase them. Think about it in terms of celebrities. When you hear something bad about a celebrity, the next time you go and see the movie, you want to forget, but you can't forget. So if that's true of someone whom you don't know, remember that when you say, look, I love this guy, but he does this, you won't be able to shake that impression. And neither will the person you're speaking to. Now, I don't want to hold you to an impossible standard. It is not possible to never speak badly about people we love, I don't think. I mean, maybe you can. But I think most people can't do that. Every now and then, just talk to husbands and wives. How many of them never say anything negative about each other? Maybe in a perfect world, 0%. So here is the advice that I always give couples. I say, you have to find someone who loves your spouse the way you do, and that's the person you complain to. Never complain to someone who doesn't like your spouse, because that's a recipe for disaster. So if you need to complain, and everyone does, just make sure you don't complain to a member of your family who has doubts about the person you married to start with. Instead, tell somebody who feels as loving and as attached as you do, so that you won't damage their relationship or later on have them turn around and damage yours. Because remember, everything you say can come back to you. Well, you say that, but I remember last year you told me that he wasn't such a great guy. And then, as I was thinking about this during the week, we had, of course, Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut. And I thought the same thing, which is, if you're going to speak negatively about Israel, you better be very careful to only do it to someone who loves Israel the way you do, and not give those who don't like Israel the opportunity to say, look, even the people who love Israel say this about it, or say that about it. Because the same rules apply, which is, if you love something or someone, try not to speak badly about them, and if you feel you must, then choose someone else who loves them. And so, I want to speak well about Israel, just for a moment and for a particular reason. Because this past week was, as we know, both Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut, the day of remembering those who gave their lives in defense of the nation, followed by Israel's Independence Day. And all of this comes right after Yom HaShoah, the day on which we remember the victims of the Holocaust. And this week in Israel, a very great rabbi passed away. His name was Aharon Lichtenstein, one of the most renowned rabbis of the modern age. He was the son-in-law of Rabbi Yosef Soloveitchik. He ran a yeshiva in Israel for many, many years. He won the Israel Prize, which is a prize for literature and general intellectual achievement, which never goes to rabbis. It usually goes to scholars in other fields, but it went to Lichtenstein. And as I was reading through tributes to him, I came across a drasha, a little talk he gave in 1988 for Yom HaAtzmaut. And I thought, if you're going to give a sermon about gossip, you should end up by saying something good about Israel, and also a little bit of a hesped, a little bit of a eulogy for a great scholar in Israel. And this is what Lichtenstein said. He said, modern Zionism is based, of course, on the ancient call to Abraham. When God comes to Abraham and says, go to Israel, what does that call mean? Well, according to Ramban, to Nachmanides, things were very bad for Abraham and his family in Ur Kasdim. They felt threatened. And God was giving Abraham a chance to flee a bad place where bad things would happen. But of course, because it was coming from God, it wasn't only about running away from the possibility of disaster, it was also about going to a place
where holiness could be achieved.
He said, and that in capsule is the story of modern Israel. The early Zionists, like Herzl, their principal concern was, we've got to get away from Europe where disaster awaits. And they proved, of course, to be right. But he said, from the very beginning, there wasn't only an element of escape, there was an element of vision. Not only what we were running away from, but what we were running to. And every year on Yom HaAtzmaut, he said, the state has to remember that it is both. It's not only a visionary and religious institution because it has to operate in the political world and because it has to be a refuge for Jews. But it cannot only be a political entity and a refuge for Jews because it is also a Jewish state. And that same tension runs through everything that we do. And I realized, to make full circle, that when people say bad things about Israel, it's almost always because they think Israel has gone too far in one direction or the other. Either it's too much of the religious and the Jewish, and they're not as aware as they should be of realpolitik and the world, and they should be just taking care of Jews and the Jewish people, and all of that religion and morality, states can't operate that way. Or they're being too much, they're acting too much like a great power, and they're not thinking about the morality and the religion that a great state has to operate by if it's a Jewish state. And Lichtenstein is right. We need that balance, and we have to watch what we say, and we have to be careful to understand that just like a human being, a state has many different facets and many different roles, and it is always easy to attack. It's easy to attack people who, even the best of them, are riddled with flaws. It's easy to attack a state who, even with its best efforts, is going to be filled with missteps, with errors, and with tragedy. So we who love, have to speak lovingly. Because the remarkable truth that everyone discovers at one point in their life is, it is not necessarily only that loving someone leads you to speak lovingly about them, but speaking lovingly about someone leads you to love them. Sometimes our heart follows our words. When we speak unkindly, we feel unkindly. When we speak kindly, we feel more loving. So on this Shabbat, when we talk about externals, when we talk about medical conditions, remember that it always, always, always returns to your heart and to your soul. Let what you say reflect what is best in you, and you will discover that by speaking those words, what is best in you will be realized, not only in your relationships, but in other parts of your life as well. Shabbat Shalom.